Okay, warriors, you are listening to Unqualified Therapists. Remember, stay wild and weird.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We started this podcast because mental health is complicated and the stigma surrounding it can make us feel alone.
So we are here to share authentic stories in order to normalize and prioritize mental health.
We believe in professional therapy. We both use it on our own healing journeys.
But we also know it isn't one size fits all. So we are here to provide tools from our own experiences,
as well as those from our guests and professionals that come on the show.
Thank you for being here as we navigate the complexities of mental health and mental illness together.
Remember, hold on, warriors. We're gonna make it. Warrior.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Unqualified Therapist.
I'm trying to hold it in, but I'm laughing because literally every time I start the recording, it starts our theme song and Amy jumps and I give her a warning. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm going to start it.
Hold on to your butts. But it just like is louder than I expect, even with the warning. And I do this all the time. Oh, yeah. I was like, and in my brain, I was like, I'm going to miss my cue because I'm so like startled by how loud this is. Oh my, the inner dialogue.
Yes, it was good. It was a good. So I had to put my head back and close my eyes because I was like, I'm not going to laugh. And then I was like, well, here we are. I can't help it.
Oh yeah, I can't help it. Sorry.
Sorry. So we need to start off by saying, happy birthday, dear Amy.
I'm 45.
That's right, bitches.
I'm so proud of being 45.
Yeah.
It feels very monumental.
Does it?
It does. And I think it's just like because it's in between the 50 and 40 and 50. And I don't know. It just feels really mostly because I look back at 40 and I think of my God, just the growth and the changes and the big ass changes and the things that I've gone through and survived. And I didn't have an existential crisis.
That is amazing.
That to me was winning.
That is winning.
And I know I've been talking about it to Sarah for like 2 weeks now, but it felt like it was overnight. My eyes were like, I'm tired. I need some help. I can't see.
Well, yours was delayed a lot from 38 was mine. I woke up at 38 and was like, I can't see anything. And then it's just gotten progressively worse every single year. Every year I go, they're like, oh, your prescription went up. Oh, they went up again.
Oh. Like, I can fake it with the distance, but I cannot fake it with the reading. I'm like, oh man, this is so bad. So yeah, it has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like that person that has, I'm going to need to chain around my neck.
Listen, I took, when we were cleaning out my mom's house, I found one of hers because she had one.
Yeah.
And I took it and I was wearing it for a while and then it broke. I need to fix it because I will so rock that shit. I don't give a shit. I will wear the chain. It had like pearls on it and it was gold and a chain.
I'm just going to own it. I feel like once you have reading glasses, it also puts you in a different category of wisdom. It's like tea, right? You know, like tea. Throwback to my
like
tea.
Drinking tea makes you smarter.
Yeah. Like, you know, that I think them to, I hold people who drink tea to a higher like regard. There's something about reading glasses that I don't know. I just feel like now you are just so wise and you've been through it and you've survived and you give no fucks at all. I don't know. Glennon Doyle has reading glasses.
Randy's going to be so excited to hear you say that since he's been wearing glasses since he was 8.
Oh, he's just been wise beyond his years.
Yes. Poor guy. He can't see anything without them.
Yeah, I've been truly blessed with 20/20 forever and ever and ever. And then they just were like, meh, meh. We tired.
It's all right. I'm here for it. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. You're enjoying it. You're loving it.
Yes, I am.
We're having a good time. We're loving all the things that happen with October, including your birthday and spooky season. Spooky season is my favorite time of year. This is a shitty time for me. This is where all my anniversaries happen. My dad's birthday is the 26th. Then he died November 4th. My mom died October 30th. And then she was buried on November 4th. So it's like,
it's a lot.
This whole thing. But what I will say is that spooky season gives me a nice distraction. And it's like my little comfort blanket, my emotional support season.
It is a nice distraction. Yes. And distractions are good.
I agree. They're not good long term.
No.
But you've got to
like, you've got to put them like it in like, is it tandem? Would that be the correct word?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
With other healing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So distract, heal, distract, heal. Like you can't do all of one of those things or you'll just break. but yeah, I think that it's good. And I was so curious because I thought, has this word spooky season, has this been around forever? Mm-hmm. And so what I found is that this person who wrote this article, I'm not going to say a whole lot about the article because they were super grumpy about it.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. They were like, this is capitalistic bullshit. So, but I got a couple facts.
I'm here for it.
I was like, okay, geez. And so I got a couple facts out of it. 1905 was the first sightings of that in a newspaper, but really it was about 8 years ago-ish that it started popping up on the internet of like this idea of spooky season. And they say that it's similar to the idea that like Christmas has its own holiday season. You know, it's this long drawn out thing. And so it was a way to take Halloween, draw it out for capitalistic reasons.
8 years ago just seems so short.
I really don't believe that spooky season has been a word that or two words that I've heard before.
Four, 8 years ago?
Like, I feel like it's new.
Yeah, like everybody is like, oh, Halloween, or I love fall, or I love,
there didn't used to be like, unless you were a teacher in kindergarten, there wasn't like Halloween sweatshirts. It said like spooky, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody can, you know, fact check me. I don't care.
No, it just feels... Because I think just because I've been
so...
Because
you love it so much.
I love
much.
It so much.
In that, your core, yeah. You're like, it had to have been here forever.
It's been here
forever.
I
was born with it.
I just love fall. I love fall. That's why
I know.
We got married in the fall. Yeah.
I do too, and I say this every year to you, but what...
I know, it's the weather. It's the weather.
I don't think we're going to see sunshine for like May, till May.
As we look out the window and it is...
It's gray. I was driving here, it was like 4:30, and I was like, well, it's nighttime.
The trees, though, out my backyard are pretty gorgeous. They're
just
starting
really
to turn.
Completely turn. Yeah, that's
no,
kind of nice.
So like yellows and greens, and there's like a little bit of orange and red out there. I can't wait for it to be like full colors and beautifulness. So today we are going to be talking about the spooky season and how it affects us. And I mean, we have to talk about some mental health aspects of it, of course, obs, but we're also going to tell some fun stories too. So
this is an interesting like way that we've gotten here. So I'll kind of take you down that road. It all started with the TikTok things that came up about Appalachia. I don't know if you've seen them. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But then it just kind of expanded into like this whole idea of why do we love spooky season? And specifically to people with anxiety disorders.
Who are here for it.
And it's actually a thing.
I knew it had to be. I'm like, if there's a thing with watching true crime, there has to be a thing with
this. There's a correlation with this too.
Yeah.
And even more so because it's fake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I do dig that part.
Would you like to know why people with anxiety...
Please hit me with it.
...love Halloween and spooky season? So this is from one of our favorite places, Psychology Today. The first reason is that it's playful. And that word that we just talked about, a distraction. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea of like make-believe and play, and you can just be distracted and almost like in another world.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That tracks.
The second reason is nostalgia. If you don't have childhood trauma, and so that part of your life is like a positive thing, it really is remembering these childhood memories of trick-or-treating or decorating pumpkins or carving or you know, there, it's a low stress holiday without a whole lot of, you know, shopping and things of that nature. And so it's just fun.
Yeah.
And I agree. You have those memories. So the third reason is familiarity. Why can't I get it out?
Because it's hard to say. Familiarity.
Oh, yeah, you're good. As long as you struggle too, I'm good. So Halloween prompts us to think about our fears. So because we have anxiety, we are so well versed in fears. We have created fear all around us in everything. We have created fear in the fact that, like, we said something 20 years ago to someone.
Can confirm.
But I used to have a fear of sirens. Because I was like, somebody's dead that I know, you know, or whatever. A fear of all these fears, right? So it's just constantly in our brains going. Well, the idea is that this is like almost like exposure therapy.
Oh, interesting.
And so, but in a very contained way, you know? And so it's like, you're like almost getting afraid and then realizing it's not real. And then being afraid and then realizing it's not real. So, And this goes along with number four, which is normalization. So Halloween normalizes the feelings that people with anxiety live with on a normal basis.
I like that one. I like that reason.
It reminds me of when we had the shutdown.
Yeah.
And I was so deep in grief. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the best thing that could have ever happened. Mm-hmm. Because yes, the world should stop and everybody should be sad because I'm sad. Mm-hmm. So Halloween, you know, everybody's scared, right? You go to a haunted house, you go wherever you hayride. And so we're all scared together and we all have fear. And those people who live with anxiety disorders are like, welcome to my world.
Join me, won't you?
This is how every day is for me.
It is so interesting. And I totally can see that and agree with that.
Yeah. So, and these all basically are going to blend into each other. So number five is connection. So we're leaning into our fears. So we're having this inward exploration of like, well, why are we scared? What's going on? And then there's this outward like social commentary. And because horror is a fear we can all have together. And usually it has something to do with some society like norms, right? So witches, that's pretty much women who spoke their minds.
Right.
They even gave the example of American Horror Story, specifically the Freak Show one, mm-hmm. and talking about how all of that was so much social commentary on like the world around us. And so it's another way for the things that we think about all the time to be something that everybody is watching and thinking about.
Yeah.
And number six is the empowerment. And the reason for that is the control. It's controlled exposure to anxiety and fear. So you're choosing to watch a scary movie. You're choosing to go into the haunted house. You know you're going to be scared. And then you also know that it's going to end.
That's probably the biggest part of it. It's going to be over. It's cool. There's an end to this.
Yep.
Mm. And never thought of it like that.
Yeah. And so it's just this period of time. It's not this like, am I going to be afraid forever of blank, which is really how anxiety works in my brain. And number seven is preparation. So this is interesting. Horror fans had less psychological distress during COVID-19 because they were prepped by these films.
Oh my God.
How weird is that?
Yeah.
But if you've watched the zombie movies, if you've watched, you know, all of the things that seem to have come true, you're like, this is something I've seen before. I understand this. That was one article that I found. And I really thought that a lot of that made a lot of sense. Some of it more than others. Another article in Bazaar. It was a magazine many moons ago, was it not?
It sure was.
Yeah. Magazines. I kind of miss those.
I do too.
There was something really like soothing about getting a People magazine and being like, this is a very like limited amount of like garbage that I'm going to ingest. Whereas like the rest of this like TikTok, you can just go forever and ever.
Right.
And ever.
You're right. There's an end to it mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. So horror films, there's the idea that horror films don't create fear, but they release it.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Because you have all this like already this anxious anxiety, and then you watch the horror film, and then it just like all goes away. what you were scared of before the movie and what you were scared of during the movie.
Oh my, like my mouth is open. Like my jaw was like, what?
That's wild,
that
right?
That is wild. I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Because I can feel, because I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, you know, I used to really love horror movies. And I've had a lot of like traumatic experiences from the time I was little till now. So I was like, maybe it's the trauma I've experienced that makes me like not want to. And I was like, no, that can't be, because
yeah,
it's kind of been like one string of it. So I'm wondering if I liked it more as a kid because it was the way I knew how to let it go then.
Right.
Yeah. Because I didn't know any other way.
Well, there is that weird thing that happens when you have kids. For me, yes, that was the shift.
Yeah, there was a shift definitely after
Scott
I had kids.
Scott and I were horror junkies.
Same, yeah.
Like, constant. Mm-hmm. We watched them all. Everything, the most gruesome thing you could think of, we watched it. Mm-hmm. And then I had Lily and I was like, oh,
can't watch this anymore.
But after reading all of this, I may go back to it. But what you're saying makes sense because when we're younger, fairy tales are mm-hmm. a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And what they said is that horror is like the grown-up coping mechanism.
I like that.
The other idea is this like surrogate theory where it feels like we have this control over death because it's like not us mm-hmm. it's happening to. It's this like controlled thing in a movie. It helps us understand and be able to express symbolism with metaphors. Like I said, with witches and the idea, it's like with ghosts and werewolves and how there is that symbolism with society and the different things that are so heavy mm-hmm. and the things that, you know, politically and all of those things that we think about all the time. And it's just another way to express that. Mm. Watching the way that people react to a ghost in a movie or a witch in a movie or a werewolf. And then they compare, I love this too, is they compared it to a roller coaster. And talking about how it's a safe space to look fear in the eye. Like, again, because you know the end. Mm. So you know that roller coaster is going to, like, not jump. Well, unless you have anxiety.
Okay, so pause 1 second. Do you freak out when you get on them? Because I never used to as a kid. And I was like, I loved amusement parks. I loved roller coasters. The scarier, the better. Now as an adult, I get on them and I'm like, okay, this is great. This is fine. It's awesome. It's great. It's not going to come off the tracks, but I literally will think like, this could come off the tracks.
Because it's an intrusive thought. I have them too.
Okay.
But you know what I tell myself, but this isn't like a carnival ride.
So true. Okay. Yeah. No, F those carnival rides. I'm not getting on those.
Mm-mm. Never. But that goes along with, you know, the idea of it. You can control the environment. Therefore, the fear, it releases in a different way because you know the beginning, the middle, and the end and how that's going to go in both mm-hmm. a film and a roller coaster. And that is what I have on mental health and why those of us with anxiety love spooky season.
I love that. Thank you for doing that research.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes.
What's the scariest movie for you that you ever saw that you're like, I will never watch that again. No, thank you.
But here's the thing. I loved it at the time.
Sure.
Like,
but now,
loved it. I watched the whole, like, I think there's multiple of them and it's Hostel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just thought the scene where they cut the Achilles tendon was, like, yes, so amazing. I was like, yeah! Like, I don't know. I just, like, I loved it. Like, we even went to the movie theater to see these things. Mm-hmm. Like, we were horror buffs. Like, mm-hmm. we loved it. Then I was like, oh, no. Because
right.
Then, you know, I don't know. It just changed. But, yeah, that's one of them. What about you?
The Strangers.
Oh, I don't know that movie.
It's more psychological. There is only like blood at the very end.
Wait, is this the house thing?
They're in the house in a cabin, like in the middle
yep.
of nowhere.
Yep.
And there's just people in these creepy ass masks
yep.
standing outside.
So I do know that movie. And I will say that the problem with that movie is that I have a massive fear of a home invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I have dreams about them all the time.
Ugh.
I told you the last one.
Yeah.
This goes along with the horror, but the guy's weapon was a power drill.
Nope.
Anyways, so I do know that movie,
yes.
and that is not something that I could watch. And then did you watch the whole, because I watched the television shows, I watched the movies, all of them.
The Purge. No, I did not, because I already had kids. That was a no for me.
The kids were there. Scott and I were really into The Purge. I was more into it. I'm lying. I was more into it and I sucked him in. I'm not sure why I loved that one. because I would come up with scenarios of what kind of safe house I would create. I have a real I would love to have a safe house.
So maybe it's giving you the chance to play out your safety and defense and protection.
Because I watch it with, what would I do? What would I do? Yeah. What would I do in all of these situations? Uh-huh. No, I would never want to watch, what was it, The Strangers?
Strangers.
Nope, mm-hmm. never, ever,
They made
ever.
A second one too. Randy was like, do you want to watch it? Last night he said, I was like, no, are you insane? There's no freaking way. No.
Mm-mm. So we're going to move to Appalachia because, you know, it's less scary than Strangers. There is Appalachian folklore, and while I knew what folklore was, I was still interested. I was like, I want the official definition. Folklore is the whole of oral traditions shared by a particular group of people, culture, or subculture. This includes tales, myths, legends, proverbs, poems, jokes, and other oral traditions. And in Appalachia, there is a lot of folklore. And, you know, one of the reasons they say is it has a long history involving Native American tribes and settlers that have led to the region's unique culture and supernatural folklore. Also, I did not know this, but the Appalachian mountain range is 400 million to over a possible billion years old.
Damn.
That's so old. So much could have happened. I mean, so like this.
So many.
I think of the story upon story upon story. Mm-hmm. So the layers of energy that is left by all the things would make me think that that is why all of these things are still there. You know, whatever they call that. There's lots of things they call them, but these things in the woods that you don't look at. That's just like all that leftover energy from millions, possibly a billion years old.
If you think about it, humans are so young.
So young.
So we've only been here for a very short time compared to how long the Earth has actually been here. So yeah, all of the different
creatures
beings,
that used to be here, all of those things are still like, in my mind, it makes me feel like they're lurking still. Their energy is still lurking.
Woo-hoo!
I'm very excited to hear your story.
So speaking of folklore, we're going to go into one of the most famous folklore stories of Appalachia. Stories can instill fear and create sadness and sometimes even depression if we've been told these stories generation upon generation and they feel the weight of them. Some stories are lore, some are true, but they're not always believed by the listener. But this is one of those stories in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And I'm a West Virginia girly, guys, so I had to go with this one.
Of course, of course.
Point Pleasant, West Virginia sits on the edge of the Appalachian Mountains, where legends are told as part of a long history of violence against Native Americans that occurred from the Irish and French settling the area. That is a horrible part of history. Settlers came in to steal the land. Horrific things happened, and lots of different cultures merged with one another. And as a result, these stories came about. One of the most prolific stories from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, is that of the Mothman. In 1966 and 1967, West Virginia, there were over 200 sightings of a winged creature with red eyes, and there are still sightings to this day. Most described him as being gray with large wings that hunched over the shoulders and being anywhere from 6 to 7 up to 9 feet tall. There are many stories that date back centuries warning of a bird, most commonly an owl, that visit those who are sick as a warning of death. Mothman became one of these. In 1966, two couples driving on a secluded road just outside of Point Pleasant see what they refer to as, quote, the bird. This road is off of the McClintock Wildlife Refuge, or what the locals call the TNT area. As they drove, the couple saw a man-sized winged creature 6 to 7 feet long with red eyes that flew over and near their car, swooping in front of the windshield, past the windows, and over them. However, it was no secret that this area was contaminated with chemicals from World War II testing, and so it was thought that maybe it was a deformed bird that had been affected by the waste. But this was the first recorded report of what would become known as the Mothman. In October of 1967, I love that it's October, right in spooky season. Could it be better? A 10-year-old little girl hears a noise outside of her window and peeks out, only to see the red eyes looking back on a figure she described to be 6 or 7 feet tall. She runs to tell her parents that she thinks that she has seen the Mothman. Her father calms her down and comforts her, puts her back to bed, and assures her that this is not what she saw. 1 month later, her father was in a plane headed to Cincinnati, and that plane crashed. He was one of only 16 survivors. I have been astounded by most recently hearing a lot of plane crash survivor stories, because I didn't even know that was like a thing.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a little side note, not having to do with the story, but something I would love to talk about later at some point.
What part of the plane did they sit in? Because that's right? Where I go.
Yes. So that father was sitting in a seat, completely unharmed, whereas the seats, two seats next to him, were actually on fire.
Okay. Are we thinking the Mothman like saved him? Sorry, this is, I just have to, right. I think out loud here.
I'm not sure. There are lots of theories. Okay. Lots of theories on who and what the Mothman means. That man led several people to safety. In the 1960s and 70s, several families report hearing something landing hard on their roof. They said it sounded like someone who had jumped out of a helicopter and landed with a thud. And then they would hear odd shuffling footsteps walking around on the roof. In 1966, there were over 100 reports alone in that year of people seeing the cryptid. Those who saw the Mothman said that it spoke to them, warning them that disaster would occur in their town. Some people said that it didn't speak, but tried to communicate telepathically instead.
Wow.
1 year later, on December 15th, 1967, tragedy struck Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
The whole town burned down.
No.
Okay.
But according to West Virginia's Department of Transportation website, at 5 p.m., witnesses say they heard a noise like a gunshot and what sounded like, quote, folding like a deck of cards. And in less than 20 seconds, the entire 1,460-foot suspended portion of the Silver Bridge collapsed into the river, taking with it 32 vehicles and 46 victims, including two whose bodies were never found. Sightings and stories died down after the tragedy, but they did not stop entirely. There were several sightings in the 80s and 90s, but things really ramped up in the early 2000s after the movie The Mothman Prophecies came out. A few of these stories: in 1988 at 2 a.m., Leah Wilson hears a noise that sounds like an owl from across the street. Leah describes the noise as like a Hollywood movie-sounding pterodactyl that screeched and then giggled.
No, thank you.
Mm-mm. She looked out the window to see the winged man creature flying over the house with wings so large she could hear the whooshing of them as it flew past her window and over her home. Okay, I have to tell you guys, we're stopping for a second. You won't hear it because I'm going to take it out. I have put in a song. It's the West Virginia theme song for the state.
And it's creepy as all get out.
It's really creepy. And I have muted it, and it's still playing.
No.
I'm scooching it down more, because it just needs to be out of the... This is wild.
Oh, man. This is because we mess with these things.
It is, because we mess with stuff and talk about it, and then here we go. In 1987, a girl and her boyfriend see a 6-foot winged creature walking on 2 feet across the street in front of their car. With what she described as the winged creature's knees were on backwards. Like it was bent the wrong way.
Yeah, I picture it. I got it.
And she described it as shuffling across the street as though it wasn't used to walking on 2 feet. And so that was also matched descriptions of the people who heard them on their roofs.
This is still in West Virginia.
Okay. Still in Point Pleasant area. Is the Mothman something beyond a plane that we know? That's one of the theories.
A plane?
Like, not this plane of existence.
Oh. I was trying to connect it to the plane that you were talking about earlier. Yeah. Right? Are we having a little glitch in the Matrix and then we see it?
If so, is there something about Point Pleasant or Appalachia that has created a gateway to otherworldly things?
Oh, man. That gives me,
me chills.
Stranger Thing vibes.
Yes. West Virginia and the Ohio Valley, and I know it sounds like it's Ohio, but the Ohio Valley is not. It's actually in West Virginia, and where I lived in Wheeling was called Ohio Valley as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's known as the Valley of the Dead, and it has been believed to be cursed.
Why would you live there?
I don't know. I love it there. It's known in several different cultures that rivers or a confluence of waters are a gateway to something. And we live in Pittsburgh.
With all the rivers and all the dead bodies.
Yes, three rivers converging in one spot, also called the Point. So some beliefs of who or what the Mothman is he a paranormal spirit entity that is not tangible, but is an energy? So someone described this as the snow that comes on the TV, the static.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that your mind tries to unscramble it and creates this vision of a Mothman.
Okay.
So that's one theory.
Mm-hmm.
Another is that he's an extraterrestrial. He's a being from a UFO okay. that visits Earth. And in the 60s and 70s, when there was a lot of research around him, a lot of the people who were doing that research, that was a big theory. Because there were beginning to be a lot of UFO sightings during that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of government denial, and people were speaking out and telling their stories, and so that was one theory. This term comes from John A. Keel, who wrote Mothman Prophecies, the book, and this was about all of his stories. He interviewed people after the Silver Bridge collapsed, and he interviewed people before that as well, and put that all together for the book, and that was where the movie came from. He thinks that he might be an ultra-terrestrial, and this is an earthbound creature that is beyond our normal perception, but we can see and interact with them.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either, because
and I'm
that's
like
a
into
him,
that shit.
That's like him specifically, like he came up with that.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
Most people, though, especially those you ask in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, think he is an omen of bad things to come, or what they call a harbinger of doom. He was allegedly sighted in Chernobyl prior to Chernobyl. He was allegedly sighted before 9/11, and of course was sighted hundreds of times before the collapse of the Silver Bridge. No matter what you believe, these stories are passed down from generation to generation and will continue to haunt the minds and lives of those who have reported to encounter it.
That's a very nice, comprehensive story. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Because truly, when you research these things, you get bits and pieces here and there. It's hard to catch it all. I don't know what I would think. I don't know what I think. I think it's like an energy that we formulate something in our brain to have it look like a certain way.
That also then is like, how do all the people see the same thing?
Yeah. And the red eyes is something that like a lot of people talk about when you go listen to their stories about what they see in the Appalachian Woods.
I have like permanent shivers right now.
And if you want to, you know, look it up on TikTok, and you'll see video. You'll see like ring doorbells, or you'll see people's videos. Holy chills.
Mm-hmm.
Of these beings hiding in the woods with the red eyes. I don't know, but it is a fascinating story.
A lot of hunters that set up the cameras too to get like wildlife.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Will capture things and beings on their cameras too. I don't know if Mothman's ever been captured in that light, in that way. But I do know that there are some cryptids and things that I've heard stories about that, like there's a story of a deer creature that walks on two legs.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It just looks wrong. Like it's a deer, but it looks wrong. Like it looks like it's not. It's something's majorly wrong with it.
So what I can say is that when I must have watched like 50 of them today of just different people in Appalachia who are making these videos. What it seems to me is that they just basically coexist with these things and they figured out a way to do it. And so they have rules and they have ways that they do it. So like this woman was saying, you know, she knew something was on the porch. You close the windows, you like lock the door, and you just pretend it's not there. I couldn't imagine. I tried to put myself in her shoes and I was like, I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could do that.
I really don't. I really, really don't.
Want to like capture it on video, not capture it physically, but like on video or something, or take pictures. Like I would want.
Yeah, but I think that every time something that you purposely try to do that, I don't know, I think bad things happen.
I mean, there is a saying, curiosity killed the cat for a reason.
True, true, true. So the most famous two things that are said in Appalachia are, no, you didn't, And no, you don't.
Okay, so tell us, what does that mean?
It means that if I say to you, Sarah, I saw something on my porch last night.
No, you didn't.
Sarah, when I was in the woods, something was calling my name.
No, it wasn't.
Right, exactly. Like, or I heard something calling my name. No, you didn't. So it's just this phrase. It's just like, and then grandparents say it, and then parents say it, and they pass it down to the kids. It's just this, no, you didn't. Nope.
My whole body is full of goosebumps right now.
I know, because I've already decided that's the name of the episode. No, you didn't. These are the rules, and this is not a conclusive list. Like, I'm sure that there is multiple more. No whistling in the woods, ever.
Oh, no way.
Don't ever whistle. It's an invitation.
What?
Don't be outside after the sun goes down.
What about camping? We went camping, Amy.
Nope. Don't do it. Not in Appalachia. I guess Pennsylvania is that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that possibly some of these things are like really out there in the woods, you know, like out there with all like with no nothing else there. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that it would be in more isolated places, mm-hmm. which is why I don't understand how people walk the Appalachian Trail. Are you out of your live long mind? Like, what is wrong with you? I sound really old. Okay. So when you are hiking, look ahead. Look at the trail. Do not look in the trees. You will see something. Don't do it because no, you didn't.
But I want to look in the trees. That's the whole point of going hiking, is to admire the nature around you.
Sorry.
Ugh.
If you feel like something is around you, that something is happening, if you hear something say, hey, or you hear a baby crying, don't panic and don't run. Bad to run, don't run. Most importantly, if someone calls your name, do not answer.
What Never, happens if you do?
Ever answer. Apparently, if they know your name, then they're not new. And they have been, one person put it as hunting you.
Oh, no.
Stalking
no,
you.
No, 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 no.
Watching you and learning how to mimic, like, your husband or your sister or whoever is living with you or whatever, so that they can then say your name.
No. No.
Yeah. So when kids, let's just say that, you know, kids during the day or whatever go play out in the woods, they're taught that if they hear their name, like their parents calling their name, nope, no, you didn't. Do not answer that. You did not hear them, because no parent is ever going to yell for you.
Oh, my God.
Carrying cedar and sage, they say, is a good idea. And I guess most importantly, just don't ever answer. Any, don't answer back. Someone says, hey, or, you know, Sarah. Nope, you didn't hear that.
So I wonder if that's true for indoors as well, because I have a little story.
Jesse saw one on TikTok that happened in a house.
Okay.
The conclusion of that from the story she told me, I did not see the actual thing. The answer is yes. Do not answer that shit. Is this in West Virginia?
It is in West Virginia. Right. So I went to Bethany College in West Virginia. And it is on a hill in the middle of nowhere, which it's part of the Appalachian Hills. And in fact, Bethany College is a member of the Appalachian College Association. So it's right smack dab in it. My college is haunted. We've talked about this. Last year, we did a whole episode on how haunted our colleges are. Amy's is way worse than mine.
I think that's the one that we have to redo, because it was, yes, we couldn't hear it.
Yeah. So we will do another one. Tell our stories again. So
if you want to hear
it, let us know. So I was sleeping in my dorm room, but I didn't have a class. I slept a lot. I did not have classes.
Well, yeah, you're in college. Of course you did.
There was no one in my dorm. There was no one on the quad. There was no one anywhere. It's a very tiny school. There was only 750 people that went there total.
Wow.
Everyone was either in class or doing the same thing I was doing, which was sleeping. So empty. I am asleep. It's the middle of the day. And I hear someone whisper my entire name, my full name. Sarah Elizabeth Anderson.
Oop. Nope. No, you didn't.
Exactly. No, you didn't. I sat up, like shot up, And I said, what? That was at the very beginning of my freshman year. And after that, several things happened in my dorm room with my roommate present. We both witnessed it. And we can tell those stories on another episode.
It's all because you said what?
It's because I answered it. Fuck.
Don't answer. Folks, don't answer.
Don't answer.
I mean, unless it's like moving out of Appalachia. If it's a loved one, I mean, you can talk to them. We believe that's fine.
We believe that's okay.
Don't answer anybody in the woods. Nobody's going to be out there for anything good.
My mom used to call me in from the woods, though. Mm-mm. I think about that. I think about her yelling my name off the back deck.
And this goes back to me saying what I've said over and over again. You think someone with anxiety and mental health problems should be in the woods to heal? Are you out of your mind? I mean, no thank you.
All these stories have done is given Amy an excuse to say no thanks to nature.
Nope. I'll take the path that's like, you know, paved. And here's the sad part of all of this is that hiking is one of my favorite things to do.
I love hiking.
But I do get more scared now than I ever have in the woods. I cannot go alone. I get really freaked out. I think the woods can be incredibly creepy. I just learned that fairies are evil.
They are. That is correct.
Did not know that. That broke my little heart.
Yeah. Well, they're not all evil. Some of them are just mischievous.
Yes. Like they're ornery.
Yes. But some are evil. Yes.
Yeah. They're not like... that made me sad.
Banshees are a type of fairy.
No way.
Yeah. And they are an Irish lore where they scream before the death of a loved one.
That's why you say like they're screaming like a banshee.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We could go on and on. There's so much good stuff here. You know, do a little digging if you do like the TikTok. There are some really fun, I shouldn't say fun, I say fun in quotes, folks, accounts, and just look it up. You know, Appalachian folklore. People will tell you their stories and show you their houses and kind of where they're living. It's fascinating. It really is. Next, we will redo our episode about our haunted ass colleges.
Yeah, we will.
Which is just wild that we both were so close and that I almost went to Bethany. That was my second choice, which is just...
And I almost went to Ohio University for communication.
Bizarre.
So weird.
So weird. So weird.
It's the only university I went to go see.
I've not known anybody that's gone to Ohio University and not fallen in love and stayed.
Yeah. I mean, Athens, it's like the small town, like... But that's Bethany has that charm too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Well, spooky season is here and we hope that you are enjoying it. We hope that it is helping your anxiety and not making it worse. You know, enjoy your horror films because those have a start and a finish and they are over. But do not answer anything that calls to you in the woods. That doesn't have an ending that we know about. So you don't want that.
No. No, you don't.
And if you heard something...
No, you didn't.
It's going to be easy, guys. So stay wild.
And weird, warriors. And safe.
And safe.
We love you. And we're going to play you out with the West Virginia theme song.
The song that continually came up out of nowhere that wasn't supposed to.
So weird. This is the state anthem of the state of West Virginia. Enjoy it in all of its creepy glory.
So creepy.
We learned this in fifth grade West Virginia history, but... Didn't sound like this when we sang it. Enjoy.
All the West Virginia hills, how majestic and how grand, with their summits bathed in glory like the Prince Emmanuel's land. Is it any wonder then that my heart with rapture thrills as I stand once more with loved ones on the West Virginia hills? Oh, the hills, you beautiful hills, how I love the West Virginia hills. If we'll see your land they roam, still I think you'll have me home, and the friends among the West Virginia hills.
This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. All episodes are mixed, mastered, and produced by me, Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this one, consider supporting us on patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. Or share us with a friend, relative, coworker, hairstylist, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Sharing us not only helps keep the mics on, but it furthers our mission in removing the stigma. If you have a mental health journey you'd like to share, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com or reach out to us on our website, www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. Until next time, hold on, warrior. We're gonna make it. Say it now, say it proud, shout it out, make it when we go.